He cuts, then quickly peels back the membrane a certain distance, which when you're mole, you know exactly how far to peel it back. And then comes the third, that's priya. There's the mila, is the cutting. Priya is the peel. They're all written down on your sheet. Priya is the peeling back. And the third step is the mitzitza. The mitzitza literally means the sucking of the blood, right? The mole takes his mouth and he sucks blood in order to promote healing. That means if the blood is left in that area, it could cause infection. The mole sucks the blood out to promote the bleeding so that the healing process could begin. It's essential for the healing. There is a problem nowadays because of AIDS, right? AIDS has taken over the world. So there is a problem as far as doing that with actual mouth contact. Now the halacha requires that it should be done, where possible, it should be done directly with the mouth. He does not swallow blood that way. He spits it out. The halacha requires it should be done with the mouth, probably because you know that for sure you're going to get a better draw on the blood flow. But they have a type of medical piece of equipment called the tube, which is a halachic controversy whether it can be used or not. But in cases, so if it's a woman who's living here in Bnei Brak or Mea Shearim, right, and she's seventh generation of Hasidim in Mea Shearim, and now she has a child who needs to be circumcised, you know, no problem. But if a woman on a college campus comes to you and says, do you mind circumcising my child? Well, who's the father? I know it could be anyone, several people. So then you might want to be a little more careful. And then halacha would say that not only may you use this glass tube, you would be required to, because your safety also comes first. Right? But if it's possible, then it should be done through direct contact with one's mouth. It's essential, according to halacha, that all three of these steps are taken. If they are not taken, then the circumcision is invalid. The circumcision is invalid if all three steps haven't been taken. That's the mila, priya, and mitzitza. After this is done, the assembled guests all say together, the same way, kishem shenichnas labris, the same way he entered the covenant, so too he should enter Torah, chuppah, chuppah is the marriage canopy, umaisim tovim, and a life of good deeds. That means his ulterior commentary said that his motivation, the baby's motivation of doing this mitzvah, is very pure motivation. He's got no ulterior motives. The same way he should do all of his mitzvahs the rest of his life with no ulterior motives, just as pure as he is when he's a baby. And the mystics say that a child at the eighth day realizes his spiritual potential. At the time of the circumcision, the child realizes his spiritual potential. Eventually that goes away, and then he spends a lifetime trying to regain that potential. After the, I'll take the questions 1 second, after the actual circumcision itself, then comes the naming of the child. Now the naming of the child is naming according to the mystics. If there's fighting over the name, then the child's life is in danger. There should be no fighting. Very often the child is named after a relative. There are no rules about who gets the first one, right? The wife gets the first name, the husband gets the first name. Hopefully in any successful marriage, these things should be worked out without any type of fighting whatsoever. And then after this is done, there is what's called a seudas mitzvah. Seudas mitzvah is the festive meal that accompanies very often any mitzvah, a wedding, a bar mitzvah, a circumcision. There's a festive meal, and it is a mitzvah to participate in this festive meal. Okay? Any questions on what we've set up until now? Yeah.
Okay. In America, this kavada, the honor of giving the child this couple, is this done in Israel or in America too?
Every bris I've ever been in.
Well, in America,
it doesn't always go to the childless couple. Sometimes you honor the grandparents, right?
Usually somebody, it goes to the grandparents.
It could go to the grandparents. In Israel, most of the time, goes to the bris that have been in Israel goes to the childless couple. But again, there's no halacha. Anybody that you want to honor. Yeah.
What's the significance of having on gate?
We're going to get to that in a second. We'll talk about the significance in a second.
Okay, yeah. When this is done in the hospital and there's no ceremony, it's just the first two steps then?
Okay, excellent question. What they do in the hospital, I can't tell you. But what the problem is, now this is a very important question. This is the next step on the sheet. You'll see where it says Hatafas Dam Bris. Hatafas Dam Bris means drawing blood from the area of the circumcision. That means somebody who has been circumcised improperly, right, improperly, right? Somebody who has had the circumcision either before the eighth day, it's an invalid circumcision, or after the eighth day, but by a non-Torah observant Jew, then that is an invalid circumcision. somebody who is in that category, and that is the type of circumcision he has had, has an obligation to be recircumcised. Technical problem, there's nothing to recircumcise, right? You cannot reattach and then cut it off again. Therefore, what the halacha requires is something called, remember I told you in the beginning, there's something called the pact. It's some type of blood, a pact sealed in blood. So there's a mitzvah that the person should have blood drawn from that area, right? This is what's done when somebody converts. Somebody converts to Judaism and has to have circumcision, but he has been circumcised. Nowadays, very often, the non-Jewish world, sometimes they do circumcise, sometimes they don't circumcise. Sometimes they feel it is hygienic, it's not hygienic. They go back and forth. I think that the in England, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, the children were circumcised, but then the prince's children, Charles' children, I remember hearing that Charles had the children and then Diana didn't want to have the circumcision because she felt it was barbaric. Right? She got so upset she decided to call her boyfriend or something, right? Whatever it was. She felt that it was so barbaric that she didn't want to have the circumcision. Now, the non-Jewish world, their circumcision is not valid in any way, shape, or form as far as the mitzvah of bris because they don't have the mitzvah. But if a Jew has been circumcised in any way like this, then what his circumcision is invalid, and he is required to go through what's called hatafas dam bris. Hatafas dam bris, they take a little, you know, it's like a blood test, right? They just poke a couple of times and draw out a little blood. It is relatively painless, nowhere near what anybody would expect. It's relatively painless. We have somebody who does it for the yeshiva because we have this problem all the time with guys. We have a guy, if anybody needs to have this done and wants to have it done, see me privately afterwards. I'll tell you, the guy who does it is both a circumciser and an MD, right? And he, so we'll send you to him, and then he doesn't charge for it, and it's relatively painless. We've had no problem for those people who have ever done it. May they rest in peace. Now, the Hatafas Dam Bris is essential. Sometimes a baby is born. Statistically, 1 out of 1,000 babies is born already circumcised, and then they also, and that's considered a very tricky situation, and they have to do also the Hatafas Dam Bris. It's certainly not as painful as a regular bris. Incidentally, the pain that the baby goes through is minimal, because the area, and this is one of the reasons why it's done on the eighth day, first of all, on the eighth day there's a vitamin called vitamin K, which is responsible for clotting. And vitamin K apparently reaches its peak, Rabbi Kaznet told me this, that vitamin K reaches its peak numbers on the eighth day, right, which is an interesting coincidence, and if you believe in those, and the baby also, that area is not as developed, nerve endings are not as developed in that area, and therefore the baby does not feel that much pain. The truth is that any circumcision, the minute you take the baby's diaper off, the baby starts crying. And as soon as they take the baby's diaper off, they start crying, and when they put the clamp on, then the baby starts really going wild. Then the baby starts screaming. The cutting, obviously, you know, it's not a walk on the beach, but it does hurt. But it's not this disaster that an adult would think of. When there are adults, and this was also common with Russians, when Russians were coming over and they were not circumcised at all, then it's a full general anesthesia it's a full surgery, general anesthesia, and it's a serious business, right? I heard of one case where there were two Russians who insisted on having a full circumcision with no anesthesia whatsoever because they wanted to enter the covenant in the most authentic way. I can't believe any surgeon would be willing to do that, though, right? I can believe somebody would be nuts enough to do that, but I can't believe any surgeon would be willing to perform it. There's absolutely no obligation whatsoever. On a child, anesthesia should not be used, halachically, because the circumcision should be done with a live limb, right? Meaning it's called an halacha chai, as opposed to being put to sleep with the anesthesia. So the pain is minimal. Now, any other questions in this section? Yeah, here.
What about, could you say, put like a mosquito or something inside pacifier?
Right, as soon as the baby, and that shows you that it doesn't hurt that much, because as soon as the baby, he's crying, and they dip the pacifier in the wine, they put it in the baby's mouth, the baby stops crying almost instantly. And I remember when my son was circumcised, I thought that the first night was going to be terrible. The kid pretty much slept through the night. The biggest problem was when the circumciser came the next day to check how the baby. The circumciser gives the mother instructions, gives the parents instructions on how to take care of it. Wasn't going to give me instructions to wasn't going to go anywhere near the kid, but the gives the mother instructions, right, and she knows exactly what to do. Gives her special powder, special medications to take care of the child. And then afterwards, he came the next day and he changed the first bandage, right? That was not a good scene, right? Changing the first bandage was worse than the actual bris itself. But after that, he puts a wrap on it. Eventually, the wrap falls off by itself when the baby's in the bathtub. The baby, Rosh Hashanah, the baby's five. I actually asked one of the moles, there's a halacha that you don't circumcise a child who's had two brothers that have died of circumcision. You don't circumcise a child that had two brothers that died of circumcision. In the old days, hemophilia was something that they had trouble treating. Right, and therefore, if somebody with the family was known to be hemophiliac, so if they lost two children, obviously you can't circumcise unless you're absolutely positive that the child, I'll get you one second, that the child is going to be okay. Nowadays, it's rare. They have ways of treating it. I don't know anybody who hasn't been circumcised. If somebody has not been circumcised, then there are certain halakhic limitations for him. But he is still, if it's not his fault, he obviously is not liable for premature death because it wasn't his fault. But one should make every effort. And I asked this Moel if he knows of ever anything going wrong at a circumcision, right? And he said to me, he's never even met anybody who knows somebody who something has gone wrong. The only thing that he ever heard of was one Moel, who obviously was a jerk, who took the baby and tossed the baby up in the air and dropped the baby, right? Which is not your average Moel obviously doesn't behave that way. I remember once reading in the United States, there was a guy who was a charlatan who was passing himself off as a ritual circumciser, and he actually injured a child, right? But that's not enough, that's not a real Moel, right? A real Moel is somebody who's very careful, and obviously there could be problems, but if it's done properly, there's no reason to end up with any. There's no reason to end up with any. Question?
No.
Okay. Any other questions? Yeah.
Is there another concept? I don't know. When you said it, the reason for the reason is not age, because of the clotting and stuff. They said because...
I didn't say that's the reason. I just said that's one of the reasons. We're going to get the rationale right now.
But the reverse is that because God wanted them to be safe, so he made it so that it was done easiest.
Okay. It makes it easier, right? One of the commentaries says that if you put it off too long, you're never going to be able, you may end up missing it, right? The Muslims circumcised at 13 years, right? Imagine tying that kid down, right, to do a circumcision, right? So we do it, the Torah says do it at the eighth day when the child is most easily gotten to, and then you can do it. Yeah.
In history, was there a problem with infection?
Always. There have always been, I don't know necessarily in circumcision, right, they did whatever they could, but I'm sure that they did have problems, right? Okay. The same way that they have problems with infection in childbirth and in other areas, right? That's why the mortality rate, when they do the statistics, and the mortality rate has gone down in childbirth very often because people were dying all over the place because of infection, exactly. Okay. Right, so I'm sure they didn't have any less problems. Maybe they were more careful because they knew that there's something to look out for, they may have been more careful. But they certainly were as careful as is possible. Any other questions? Okay, now the rationale is like this. Again, this does not mean it's the only rationale, but this is what the commentaries say. If you were living 2,500 years ago, and you could see through history what the Jewish people were going to go through, right? The persecutions the Jewish people were going to go through, the troubles they were going to go through, what would you bet on the chance of Jewish survival if 2,500 years ago you had to lay down your money? Would you bet that today the Jewish people would be around or they wouldn't be around? Chances are you would have bet against us, right? If you could see, there are going to be Greeks, there are going to be Romans, there are going to be Persians, there are going to be Germans, so on and so forth. And everything the Jewish people are going to go through, chances are you would have bet against the Jewish people. Now, you know that the physical world is symbolized by the number 7. Right? The world was created in 7 days. The physical world, 7, always represents that dimension of the physical. The number eight, always symbolizes the dimension beyond the physical, right? The next world, right? The non-physical world. Circumcision was given to Avram on the eighth day. It was God's way of saying to Avram Avinu, I'm guaranteeing you that the Jewish people are going to survive in a non-natural way. They are going to transcend nature in their survival. My sign is that you're to circumcise on the eighth day, the number eight, symbolizing that dimension beyond nature. Circumcise on the eighth day in the area which is the guarantee of further progeny, further generations. That's the guarantee that the Jewish people, that's the symbol of the number eight, that circumcision should be done on the eighth day, and you'll see that this is going to be the guarantee, this is my guarantee to you, that the Jewish people are going to always survive. On the holiday of Hanukkah, how many days is Hanukkah? 8 days. Why is it 8 days? Because the Jews were under attack from the Greeks, and they managed to overcome in a supernatural way that Greek attack, the Greek temptations of joining their religion, yet the Jews remained faithful to their religion. They overcame the Greeks in a miraculous way. That miracle is symbolized by the number 8. Tzitzis have on every corner, how many strings? 8 strings on every corner. What's the mitzvah in the Torah? The mitzvah in the Torah is look at the tzitzis, and by looking at the tzitzis, what are you going to remember? You remember not to sin. How does that work? Because if you look at your tzitzis, everywhere you look, you see the number 8, you realize there's more to life than just this physical world. And that's the greatest reminder. What is it? There's another dimension beyond this life. That's the greatest reminder for a person not to sin. That's why the number 8 is found in certain areas in Judaism. That's one of the symbols of the number 8. There's another idea here. Removing the foreskin, if, according to Maimonides, any limb or organ on the body that goes through surgery is never as strong as it originally was. Anybody who's had knee surgery, anybody who's had arm surgery, any type of surgery, the limb is never as strong as it once was. Maimonides says, the Rambam, Maimonides says that the number 8, that the circumcision, not the number 8, the circumcision is in order to help man control his sexual drive. Sexual drive is so potentially dominating, and people get messed up with it all the time. People throw away their careers, people throw away all sorts of reputations because of their sexual behavior. Man needs some type of aid in order to help him to overcome this drive. We start off with a head start, right? The circumcision gives us a head start in controlling that dominating drive. The number 8, again, symbolizing the fact that it takes almost supernatural powers for a person to control his sexual drive, right? And we're given a certain divine assistance in being able to use those powers, in being able to control ourselves. Now, there's also an idea by the circumcision that, what's the big fuss? The circumcision, if a person doesn't circumcise, such a severe punishment, premature death. The answer is that having children is the greatest sign of emulating your creator. God is a creator. He gave us free choice, because free choice is a way of creating, so to speak. He gave us free choice, and he also gave us the ability to have children. Removing the foreskin symbolically shows that we are exposing our creative abilities. That we are exposing, we're not covering up our creative abilities, we are exposing our creative abilities. And that the greatest sin that a man can do is to live his life without actualizing his potential. That means we've been given an ability. Here it's symbolic. It symbolizes the fact that we can create by having children. But we've been given an ability to create spiritual worlds. God gave us, he gave man an ability. He didn't even give animals. He didn't give anybody else. For us to not use or to misuse these abilities that God has given us, that's the ultimate sin. That's the greatest sin man can perform. And therefore, the circumcision is regarded as being such a cornerstone of Torah law that we should realize, we should actualize our true potential. Okay? We have to stop because I have to run. Unfortunately, I have to get the funeral. Tomorrow, we're going to be doing, please God, marriage and family.